Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf. Hayayim Maseches Chulin Daf Kaf Lamed. We begin a brand new Perek Hazroya V'Lachayayim, a little bit of a shift over to other topics other than Chelev and Tumah and Hilchos Shechita and Hilchos Treifos. So there's a mitzvah for any person who does Shechita on his personal animal. So every behema has this mitzvah called Zroya L'Choyayim V'Keva. So Shechta behema, private behema at home. You're meant to give a gift, grant a portion of that animal to the Kohen. Zroya, which is the forearm, the foreleg, the two upper sections of that leg. L'Choyayim is the lower jaw with the tongue as well. V'Keva, oh, we know about the Keva, our good friend, that's one of the stomachs, right, of the animal. So these three are called matanos. In this perek, in the context of this perek, we're going to refer to this threesome gift, right? The three-part gift as matanos. Hazroya, v'lachoyayim, v'keva. So this obligation to separate a part of the animal and give it to the kohen. So just like by produce, we have the truma and the maser, we tithe and we give to the kohen, to the levi, by an animal as well. You're meant to give a portion to the kohen. And it's an international mitzvah for all time. Hazroya, Malchayim, Vakeva, Nehagin, Ba'aretz. It applies in Eretz Yisrael, Lubchutz La'aretz, and outside Eretz Yisrael, B'fnei Abayis, while the Mikdash was standing, Yishalei B'fnei Abayis, or even after destruction. But, B'chulin, it's specific to a privately owned animal. Avalei B'mikdashin doesn't apply to Karbanos. Because by Karbanos, it's a different system. For instance, a Shlamim, right? You give a part to a Kohen, but you give a different section. You give chaz of a shoik, the chest area, the hind leg, the shoik, not zroya l'chayayim v'keva. Because in reality, shoya b'din, you can argue that logically, you should apply this obligation to karbonis as well. Look, umayim achulin. Because even if a regular chulin animal, she'enun chayavim b'chaz of a shoik, which has no obligation of chaz of a shoik, that's unique to karbonis. So despite not having that obligation, it still has the obligation of matanois, chayavim b'matanois, which again is a reference to Zroya l'chayayim b'keva. Certainly karbonis, like a shlamim, ka'achim shechayavim. Shechayavim b'chaz of a shoik. The karbon, which is obligated in chaz of a shoik, certainly, would you agree that matanis would apply as well? And it didn't. Wouldn't it be logical to say shechayev matanis that matanis would apply as well? Tamalaymar, beva pasuk. By the shlamim, which specifies that only chaz of a shaykh applies to karbanis and not matanis. Tamalaymar, va etain oisam. Only these are given la'aron hakohen levanu chlakoylam. We learn ein loy elam hashomer be'inin, only has rights to these sections discussed over there, which is Chaz HaVashayik and not Matanis. Okay, so Kachim have Chaz HaVashayik. Ordinary animals have Zroya L'Choyayim V'Keva. Continues the Mishnah. This is actually a Mishnah which is discussed also in Maseches Bechoros. Pretty much a repetition, except as Rashi says over there, it was referenced because of the Bechor element, which was in this discussion, and over here by our Mishnah, we bring it because of the reference to Matanes, which is the subject of our discussion. So you can have a carbon which experienced a mum, which disables it from Hakrava. But there are two possibilities. In the first case, you can have something which is a non-starter, an animal which is blemished to begin with, missing a leg. In that case, even if you designate it as Hagdish, it never really reaches a high level of Kedusha. It doesn't become inherently bodily Kaddish, so to speak, as an animal entity. It's just value-based Kedusha, like an item that belongs, right? Whereas if it was already designated and then was already a carbon, then it got a mum, that is called Pesulei HaMikdashin. Disqualified karbanis, which runs its own track, has its own rules, and even though it's blemished, and even after you redeem it, it still retains some elements of Kedusha, some remnants of the original intense Kedusha that it had. And it limits our involvement and, you know, what we can do with this redeemed animal. Okay, so Kol HaKadoshim, we're going to have a contrasting equation. Kol HaKadoshim Shekadam Mum Kavua. Any carbon where the Mum Kavua, a permanent serious blemish, preceded its designation, its labeling as a carbon degradation, in which case, it's only going to become monetarily Kaddish, not inherently Kaddish. Viniftu. And then it was redeemed. It's like any other animal. Because it was only monetarily Kaddish to begin with. It was only Kedusha value-based. Once you redeemed it, you transferred that value Kedusha to the exchange, the money. So now this animal is like any other. Chayavim b'bchayra, if it gives birth, if it's born as kadosh, v'matanois. You shecht it, you have to give the matanois to the kohen, v'yotz nechulin. And it leaves its hegdish status, it's regarded like any other animal with respect to sending it to the farm. The gazes to get sheared, its wool gets sheared, the ovid to go work with it, no problem. V'ladan, its offspring, as Rashi points out, even if it started carrying that offspring before redemption, and it gave birth after redemption, mechalavan, or its milk, which you milked after redemption, mutter. Go for it, no problem. Lacha pedyon, after it was redeemed. Vashechtem b'chutz patzer. And, next three items, this and the following two, will refer to even before it was redeemed. So even pre-redemption, someone takes this. Carbon and shechtzet outside the Mikdash, potter is exempt because it's not a true carbon material. Ve'enos in tmura. And if he attempts to make a swap, to transfer the Kedusha from this on some, it doesn't work. There's no tmura concept. Because, once again, it's not really carbon material. Rashi brings the Gemara. It's Rami Ikaroi. It was initially off the track. It wasn't really suitable. So it doesn't have the ability to generate that tmura. V'mesu yipado. And if it dies before redemption, you can just redeem it. And Rashi points out, even though it's not suitable for anything other than feeding it to the dogs, that's okay. Typically by a carbon, you don't do that. But this is not really carbon material. Also, there's no need to make hamada v'arachah. You don't have to have it stand and stand up and assess it. All those halachas don't apply. Chutz min ha-b'chayra. So this applies to all types of karbonis who experienced a serious mum before being designated as a carbon. So never really got off the ground properly. It was only value-based Kedusha, which is a very limited Kedusha. And after it's redeemed, back to square one, it's like never was Kaddish. And even before redemption, its severe deficiency precludes all kinds of halachas, of chiyuv, of shechita b'chutz, tmura, etc. This applies to all karbanis except, there's one exception, two exceptions. Chutz min ha-b'chayr, except if it's a firstborn. In that case, even if it's blemished, Torah says firstborn is kosher. Firstborn is kaddish. So even if it has a mum, it's born with a mum, it still has a kedusha b'chor. In that case, it's treated like the next class of animals we'll see soon, next class of korbanos, who are considered inherently kaddish, and have a more strict redemption process. Uben HaMaser, likewise Maser Behemo, right, the tenth animal, which is Maser Behemo. There as well, we have a pasuk which applies full-fledged Kedusha. Even if it's blemished, you can't bring it as a carbon, but you have to treat it with utmost respect, as per the next clause of the Mishnah, which is like this. So in contrast to the previous story, where the Mum preceded the Hegdish designation, in which case it never got started, never got off the ground properly, in the following scenario, there was Kedusha designation prior to becoming a Bamum. So it was already labeled as a full-fledged carbon, and then it got disqualified. What happens here? Says the Mishnah, V'chol shekadam hegdeshen esmumen, but if the hegdesh status precedes the arrival of the blemish, or a mum aiver kamilagdeshan, or there was a passing mum, which doesn't fully disqualify the animal, and that happened before it was designated as a carbon. So that mum is just disregarded, it's not a permanent mum, in which case the animal now attains a high level of kedusha, a very intense kedusha called kedushas haguf. It's inherently kadosh as a carbon. And then mishap occurs, la'acha mikan, then noyelah mum kavua, a permanent disabling blemish arrives on the scene. Beniftu, now you redeemed it. In this case, since it already attained that kedushas haguf, it will never lose it entirely. In fact, p'turei mina b'chayra, it will be exempt from b'chayra. So if there's a firstborn now from this animal, there's no kedushas b'chayra. Rashi explains because the pasuk in reference to this type of scenario, which we call pesuli hamikdash, and compares it to a tzvi and an ayal. You can eat it like a tzvi and ayal. These are chayos. Tzvi and ayal are chayos. They're not really roi for hakrov. The fact that the Torah equates it to tzvi ayal tells you that just like a tzvi ayal is exempt from b'chayr, there's no kedushas b'chayr by firstborn tzvi and ayal. B'chayr is limited to behemoth, not to chay. Umen amatonis, likewise, lo matonis, which is roi v'chayim v'keiv, if you shech this redeemed psuli amagdashim. And once again, because of that comparison to tzvi v'ayal, which don't have matonis, because matonis are unique to behemoth, and those are chayes. Ve'enon yaitzin l'chulin. You can't send them out, you know, to the farm. L'gazes l'avid. They don't really attain full chulin status. They don't fully lose their kedusha with respect to shearing them and working with them. Uvladin v'chalbon aser. L'achabedyoinon. Even after redemption, you can't drink the milk. The pasuk says you can have it for its flesh, for its basar, but you can't have milk of this psul hamikdashin, and also of Vladin, the offspring. And we're speaking that it started carrying its offspring before it was redeemed, then it gave birth after redemption. That offspring, this is offspring. Now, we backtrack a second, we go back to pre-pidyon. So again, it's an animal that was designated as a carbon, it got kedushas haguf, then it got severely blemished, and it's still pre-redemption. If one shechts it outside the mikdash, v'ashechtu mechutz yischayev. So you'll ask the obvious, I mean, why is he chayev? Shechita mechutz typically is limited to something which can theoretically work in the mikdash. Instead of taking it out, that's the problem. Here it's blemished. The answer is, Rashi said, but speaking about a very slight blemish, a barely visible blemish, something in the eye, which according to Rekiva, im ala lo yerdu, theoretically, if it would be put on the mizbeach, it would leave it there. So it has some potential for hakrov, and therefore, if it's done outside, it's chayev kares, voice in tmura, in its pre-redemption state, tmura would be effective, mesu yibkavru, but if it dies at this point, you can't just redeem it and send it to the dogs, because this is a true carbon. There's a halacha, Rashi says, ein poydenes hakachim, l'achilom, l'klom, you can't redeem kodesh material and feed it to the dogs. Or going to another pshat, it needs hamad of aracha, you have to have it stand and be assessed, which you can't after death. Okay, so we started a Mishnah that Zroya, l'chayayim and keva gift, applies only to chulin and not to karbonis, because it says oisam, referring to chaza v'shaik only. We don't apply matonis to karbonis. Taima de kasa rachman, said the Gemara. That's only because we have this pasuk, chaza rachman oisam. Halavachi, without this pasuk, I would think that Havam, you know, would say kachim chayev matonis. Matonis applies to karbonis as well, based on that kavachomer, right? Because if chulin, which doesn't have chaza v'shaik, has matonis, certainly kachim, which has a chaza v'shaik, will have matonis. You know, you can challenge and refute that kal v'chomer. How could you compare to chulin? Chulin has an advantage. Mal chulin shekhen chayevim b'v'chayra, because if a chulin animal gives birth, that firstborn is kadosh b'v'chayra, which doesn't apply by a carbon who gave birth. So perhaps chulin, because of that advantage, has matonis as well. Oh, teisim is chorim. Okay, we'll base it on a male chulin which can't give birth. So this factor doesn't exist. Well, malas chorim shekin chayim b'rish sageis. Even a male chulin has an advantage over karbonis because there's a mitzvah b'rish sageis. The first shearings go to the kohen, which is unique to chulin. Mityashim will learn from goats, which don't have the din of Reshis HaGeiz, which is limited to sheep. Well, Malot Yashim Shkei Nechnasim Dirulis Aser, even goats, if they're chulin, they have an advantage over karbanis because they can enter the pen and be counted for Maser Behema, right? Maser Behema applies only to chulin. Miskein, and we'll learn from chulin, which are older, last year's crop, which are no longer available for Maser Behema, because you do it only on this year's, you know. Malos Kelim Shkein Nichnasul Dirulis Aser. Okay, but even the older ones, they already experienced, you know, Maser Behema. Although they're not eligible today, but they did experience that experience, so they have an advantage over Karbanis, which never do. Melukuch V'yasem will learn from the Chulin, which is exempt from Maser Behema. Which type of Chulin is exempt? Lukuach, an animal that you purchase. There's no Maser Behema there. V'yasem, or his animal, or his mother died upon birth. So, these were exempt from Maser Behema. Well, malukuch v'yasim, it's true that they personally are exempt, but they're a type of animal, right? The other sheep, the other goats, are eligible for masa behema, shekei nichnasen b'minan, in their type. They will enter ladir lis aser, as opposed to karbonets, which don't have masa behema. Well, if you're working with type, b'minan ka'amris, you're working with type, kachim name b'minan nichnasen ladir lis aser. Well, the same money, you know, a kachim sheep, it's true, he personally can't have Maser Behema done to him, but his type will have, his fellow sheep, the non-Karbanais sheep, the Chulin sheep, which are the same type, will have Maser Behema done. So, basically, there's no difference between Chulin and kachim anymore, if we're looking at just type, right? Because if you're looking at this specific animal, then the Lekuach V'yasim has no Maser Behema, nor does the Karbanis. If you're looking at type, so they're all back in the same boat. All types of sheep, right? In the type of sheep, you have Maser Behema. So there's no difference between, if you're looking at the Chulin animal or the Karban animal, you're not looking at them personally, you're looking at the type. So the type has Maser Behema, so there's no difference. So that takes us back to our Kal V'chomer in the Mishnah. So it reestablishes our Kal V'chomer. If a chulin animal which has no chazav v'sheik has matanis, certainly karbonis which have chazav v'sheik will have matanis, comes the pasuk v'etin oisam to exempt. Okay, now let's go the other way. Chazav v'sheik is limited to karbonis. It doesn't apply to chulin. Maybe it should, based on a kal v'chomer. Says the Gemara of Yehu chulin, perhaps ordinary animals should be obligated chayavin b'chazav v'sheik based on a kal v'chomer from karbonis. Kal v'chomer, ma kach. Since by karbonis she'en chayav matanis, which are exempt from matanis, as we just established, nevertheless chayav b'chaz v'shoik, obligated b'chaz v'shoik, certainly a chulin animal she'chayav matanis, where matanis applies, ain't a din. Wouldn't you agree she'chayav b'chaz v'shoik, chaz v'shoik should apply too? A makra comes the pasuk by matanis and says, "Zeh yia mishpat ha'kayhanim." Only this, only zroya l'chayim v'keva apply to chulin. Zeh in only this gift. But not the other gift. Midi achrin alay, other gifts not. Okay? Says the Gemara, why do we need a pasuk to exempt chulin from chazav v'shoik? You know, the pasuk says that you meant to waive the chazav v'shoik to a tenufa. Ela taim the chazav rachman zeh. That only works because zeh exempts it. Halav achi, if not for the pasuk zeh, I would suggest chulin chayav chazav v'shoik, even a regular carb beneath a regular animal is chazav v'shoik, given to the kain. You can't just give it. Vavoy tenufa. The pasuk says, you do tnufa lefnei Hashem. And how are you going to do that? Hechid l'nefine, where are you going to wave it? Yeah, roi, outside the Mikdash. Lefnei Hashem k'siv, the pasuk says, lefnei Hashem in the Mikdash. Return to the base. Okay, so maybe do it inside. Yeah, gavoy, you do it inside? You can't. Only karbanis belong in the base HaMikdash. You can't bring in mundane material. Right? The pasuk, you can't just bring. Yeah, gavoy, kama ayachul nazara. Right, just like you can't do a shechita on chulin the azara, you're not meant to bring regular chulin material to azara either. So really, it's not feasible. You can't suggest that chulin will be obligated to chazav v'shoik if it's not a feasible option. So now back to the question: so why do we need zeh to exempt it from chazav v'shoik, which is not practical anyway? For a different halach, look at the Rav Chisda. Here comes Rav Chisda with a great novel chiddush. Hamazik matones guna. If a person destroys the matones, which again refers to the Azroya, the Chayayim, the Keva, Oyisha Achlan, or he ate them. Okay, it's not around. Does he have to pay up? Potter Malashalom is exempt from compensating. Well, I'll see in a minute why. Gufa. Okay, let's review this halacha. So basically, that's what the pasuk is coming for, right? So Zeh says, look, while they're around, you have this raya, give it. But if it's not around, it was destroyed, it was eaten, you're exempt. Gufa, let's review the halacha of Chizda. Hamazik matan iskun shachon patum l'shalim. The question is why? My time. Two answers. Iboy is saying the zeh, either because of zeh, explains Rashi on the third line. The mashma ba'oidan kayama is chayv litan. If they're around, you have to give it. Aval eidan kayama, if they don't exist, lo yichiv akosav ben tashlum. There's no concept of repaying for lost matan. That's one pshat. Iboy is saying, says the more another pshat. It's a Chayshim Mishpat concept. There's no claimant on this money. True, you meant to give it to the Kohen, but in reality, there's no person out there who can say, well, give me the Matanas Kuna. You? No, I'm giving it to the other Kohen. Other Kohen, I'm giving it to the third Kohen. It's a never-ending proposition. So there is no Teveya, Rashi says on the fourth line, Shein Lo Tevim, Ein Lo Balim. There's no owner on the Matanas. Who can chase him to Bezin and present a claim against this butcher, because he can say, look, I'm not giving it to you, I'm giving it to your friend. I'm not giving it to you, I'm going to the next coin. So by the definition, this money is unclaimable money, and that explains why if it's destroyed, there's no obligation to repay. Who are you paying it to? There's nobody out there who has a claim on it. Interesting. Says the Gemara Meisvei, here comes a kasha. This is going to trigger a list, an avalanche of kashas. Seven in total on this concept of Rav Chizda, the second pshat, he said, it's a mamash ein l'tovin. There's nobody that has the right to collect it. Meisvei, here comes a kasha. This is the pasuk by Matanis. V'zeh yeh mishpat. HaKoyhanim. This is the Mishpat of Koyhanim. Why Mishpat? Mishpat sounds like a scary, some sort of, court case. Malamed, we learn Shamatana is din? Yeah? Matana is our din. Now, what does that mean, din? Lamai Hilchasa, pertaining to what? Regarding what is it called a din? Lav lo yitzien v'dayon, apparently, that the Koyhan has a right. Rashi says the dayonim, the judges will submit themselves to this claim, force them to pay it up. Now, to which kain? Rashi says an interesting point. Alma, Rashi says, kain rishon hatoivan mitzien miyade. The first kain that comes his way and presents a claim can demand it and collect it. Interesting. So you can't just shove him away and ignore him. First kain has a right. Because if it's not him, it's nobody, right? First kind has a right to claim it. That's in contradiction to Rav Chizda's concept. That there is no claimant. No, that's not what it meant. It meant that the dayanim will provide instructions. It says Rashi, L'cholkem b'dayanim, dayanin oimim l'di Yisrael, l'zeh teina matanis. The chachamim dayanim have a right to instruct the Yisrael how to allocate, how to distribute, where to direct the matanis. Shu chaver, give it to the chaver, Talmud Chacham, upstanding fellow. V'al titein lezeh shamaretz. You have to give it to an upstanding kohen, not to a kohen who's unlearned. He doesn't deserve the matanis. It's not meant for him. That's what the brisa means. Ukad Rav Shmuel Bar Achmeini, the Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Achmeini Yenison. This is based on the pasuk in Divrei Hayamim. He meant to send you matanis to the correct address. How do you know that matana does not go to a kohen ha'maoritz who's not involved in learning Torah? Shonema v'yomer lo'am Chizkiah tells the nation, L'yoshve Yushalayim loses manas. Who do you give it to? L'kayhanim. Ha'kayhanim ha'leviyim l'man Yachseku Yachezku b'teres Hashem. It's meant to support learning Torah. We learn kolam achzek b'teres Hashem. Person supports, involved in Torah. Yesh lemenas. He has the right. He's entitled to collect the matanis. But somebody who's uninvolved in Torah, sheni machzek b'teres Hashem, ein lemenas. That's all the brisa means. Make sure to send it to the right address. Toshmai comes another kasha. And Rav Chisda says that it's really unclaimable money. Rav Yehuda said, "Oimer mishpat." What do we learn from mishpat? Malamed. We learn that matanis din. Matanis is related to din. Okay, what does din mean? We had a theory, we had a pshat. Let's see. Yochel afilu chaz v'sheik din. Perhaps din applies to chaz v'sheik as well. Tamalem only this, only matanis, are linked with din. Now, what did he mean when he said din? And that din only applies to matanis and not to chaz v'sheik. Lemay, regarding what? Ilim l'cholkel b'dayanim. Did he mean in terms of the dayanim, directing him in terms of who to allocate it to, only to a Talmud Chacham? So why is that limited to matanis? Why wouldn't that apply to chaz v'sheik as well? He meant to give it to the right kohen. Oh, to chaz v'sheik lav by dayanim mechalku. Chaz v'sheik are not meant to be given to the right recipient, a deserving recipient. You can give it to ma'aretz? Of course not. Apparently, what the Brisa means when it says din is that the kohen has a right to extract it from him, to claim it. And on that, the Brisa says you should know this right to collect, to forcibly collect it from the owner, is limited to matanis. Tezroya, lachayim, bekeva. The kohen could approach him in the bezin and force him to pay. But when it comes to chaz v'sheik, Rashi says it wouldn't apply there. What's the difference? The kivin del kapara ulritsuye bo, says Rashi, since it's coming as an element of kapara, it's part of his karbon, right? Chaz v'sheik is part of the shlamim. So if he's not going to give it, it defeats the purpose of what he's trying to do. He's trying to bring a karbon. L'shchech l'ma'akev, it's not common for him to hold it back. So there's no halacha that you can force him to pay it. Okay, so back to the Gemara. We've just concluded that the Brisa at least seems to say that the kohen has a right to forcibly collect the matanis, unlike Rav Chisda, who says you can't. Hachav my eskina, and you're right, but in this case, we're talking about a specific situation, the osol yadi. What happened was that the animal was at what point in the possession of the kohen. So, for instance, the Yisrael owned an animal, and the kohen maybe did the shechita, and it's sitting in his butcher shop, his place. So the full animal is there with the zroya, the chayayim, all sitting in there. And in this case, okay, actually, we'll see that later, the full animal. At this point, the Gemara is simply saying that the matanis were delivered to the kohen. Delivered to the kohen. And then a fellow grabbed it from him. So in this case, since it was delivered, it's already the kohen's. You can't just grab it away from him. Before you gave it to any kohen, you can argue, you can say it's not really. Once you gave it to him, that belongs to the kohen. It's his thing. So if you took it from him, of course the kohen can come and forcibly retrieve it in through the bezin. Says the Gemara. Okay, then it's a fairly simple case. It's pretty obvious. If it already was delivered to the kohen, my lemer, why even discuss it? The osel yadi to lie. Oh, we're speaking that the kohen had it in his possession when it wasn't yet separated. So, like we said before, he had the full animal, let's say, in which there was the zroya l'chayim v'keiva. It wasn't yet separated and designated and given separately. And the chiddush of the brayse is too late, because once the kohen had this material in his possession, he's zoicha. Becomes his. Because Sovra Haitana, this Tana holds Matonis, even Matonis prior to designation, Shalai Humru, which wasn't yet designated, Kimishu Humru Damin says, oh, they were designated, because it's meant to be separated, it's meant to be designated. So it really has that status, it has that label to it, even before it was separated and designated. In which case, if the kohen took possession of even of the full animal, in which we have these matanis, he is zaycha, he acquires it. And now, of course, you can't take it away from a kohen once it's his. But otherwise, in a standard case where it never got to the kohen yet, the owner has it, Yisrael has it. The kohen can't. Perhaps the kohen can't just come and forcibly extract it, as per Chizda, who says it's called mamash ein leitovim, unclaimable. Toshmei comes another kash on Rav Chizda, who says that these matanais are considered unclaimable materials. Tashma, balabais. We have a wealthy fellow who's on the road. He's in dire straits. He ran out of his money. He's like a poor man. But really, on paper, he has lots of assets. So what's the status regarding taking stock, regarding taking, you know, the leket, the shikha, all the materials that belong to the aniyim? Is he entitled? Tashma v'alabai shah, even makam v'makam. Alabai shah is traveling from place to place. V'tzarach lito leket shikopayon. He's compelled to resort to taking leket, you know, the stalks that were dropped by the farmer, shikha, the bundles that were forgotten, upeyo, the, you know, portion they left at the end of the field, the maser ani. Is he allowed to or not? Noitel, yep, you can take these. The fact is, now he needs it. What happens when he makes it back home? Actually, when he gets back home, pulls out his checkbook and he writes a check. Yishalim. He says to pay back for what he took. Divir b'lezer. What do we see from here? We see that there's somebody that he owes it to. And again, Rashi says, he'll have to give it to the first ani that comes his way. So even though it's meant for the general, you know, aniyim at large, that's not called unclaimable money. The first ani can personally extract it from him. And likewise, the Zroi L'chayim V'kev, which are meant for the Kehanim, the first kohen has a right to claim it. Says the Gemara, Amalch Rav Chizda, Rav Chizda can respond on this kasha and answer like this. Midas chassidus shonar kan. He's not halachically obligated. It's just, you know, righteous thing to pay back. You know, after all, you're a wealthy man. You don't belong taking stock. So it's good to pay back, but not that you're really obligated. Amar Rav, says Rav, how could you say that pshat in the brisa? Look, Tana, the Tana of this brisa, Tani Yishalim, he says he has to pay. It's an obligation. You're saying it's just a generous good deed. But Amras Midas Chasidus Shanokan. But furthermore, I have just a general question on this. Midir Rabbi Eliezer, Lekum Eliezer. Why are we even asking from Rabbi Eliezer? The fact is, the Chachamim disagree. You're right. From Rabbi Eliezer, it's a good kasha. He says you have to repay, but the Chachamim say he doesn't even have to repay. So if anything, that's a poster of Chizda's concept that it's not really claimable money. Ella, rather, the kasha was like this. Misseifa, actually, the kasha was from the Chachamim. The next part of the Brayis, Chacham say, he's not obligated to pay back. Look, at that point, he was poor. He was on the road. He had no, right? You know the famous story, right? With Chavetz Chaim. Wealthy man comes in. He says, rickety chair, it's a shaky table. What's going on? Chavetz Chaim, you should have a nice furniture. Chavetz Chaim back to him. He says, where's your furniture? He says, I'm on the road. Chavetz Chaim says, I'm also on the road. We're on the road. Journey of life. Okay, he's on the road, he's an ani. He's entitled to take, you know, master ani. He doesn't have to repay it. Oh, but we're going to make an inference, a diuk. Time of the ani. Only reason why he doesn't have to repay what he took is because he was an ani at that point. On the road, he was an ani. Ha'asher, he was really genuinely a wealthy man. He had no right taking master ani. He has money on him. He's halachically wealthy. And he takes, despite his wealth, Mishal, in this case, even the Chachamim agree, is obligated to repay. So the kasha was from the inference in the Chachamim. If he really took as a wealthy man, he has to repay it. Who are you going to repay it to? That's the kasha. Am I? Why is he obligated to repay? Lihavi kumazik, matanis kuna sh'achlon. It's like Rav Chizda's case. Person ate or destroyed matanis kuna. Who's going to claim it from him? Why is he obligated to play? Amar Rav Chizda, and this Rav Chizda would say, Midas Chasidus Shanukan, really, it's too late, he took it, there's nobody really that he owes it to, but it is an upstanding, righteous thing to repay it. But again, halachically speaking, in technical terms, there's nobody claiming it. Toshmai comes in another kasha. Suppose a farmer consumed all his produce in its tevel state, mistakenly ate it, not realizing that he hadn't yet, you know, given the truma to the kohen, etc. Or b'chein levi she'achal masrois of tevel, or the levi who got his maserishin from which he's supposed to take a tenth truma's maser to the kohen, he ate it as is. Menayin shapatav and atashlum. How do we know these fellows are exempt from repaying what they did? Tamulayim avalei chalos b'koshav meistro ashirim. The pasuk says to the kohen, be careful to treat the kadashim that the Bnei Yisrael give you with respect, ashiyarim, only once it's designated and given to you. That's when your entitlement begins. Ein lechaben, you only have a claim on these items, el mish'as haramech, once it was designated and separated. Okay, but at that point, you do have a claim, you do have ownership, you do have a stake in it. Huh? Apparently, mish'as haramech, once it's been designated, even if it's still in the hands of the owner, of the Yisrael, Mia Mishalim, if somebody eats it, he's got to pay back. It belongs to the Kayim. And the question is, why? Am I? Why is he obligated to repay these trumas that he ate? Lihavakim, Mazak, Montanus, Kunashachal, sacrifice this case when you damage and there's no claimant. Achanami here as well. We turn to the next page. We're speaking to Osli, Adabitavlayu. The Kayim already took possession when it was in its tevel state, so the Yisrael, entrusted the Kayin with this, silo of grain, in which we have, the Truma and the Maser. So once the Kayin took possession, V'kosavar, the Brises aligned with the Shita of V'kosavar, Aitana, Tana holds, Matanash, Lehirmu, even the Matanash which haven't yet been designated, they're just there in potential, Kemisho, Hermodamyan, we treat them as though they've already been realized and designated and actualized. So technically it's like the Kayin already took possession of his Truma, in which case, it's his. And if you eat it, you have to repay it. Okay, we'll continue tomorrow with Hashem. Several more kashas on this Chizda's Yisoid, Chizda's concept, that Matanas Kahuna are technically ownerless, in which case there really is no claimant that can forcibly extract it from the Yisrael. We started the Perek, Azrael Chaim Yakeva. These are portions of an animal which are given to a kohen. It only applies to chul, not to mekdashim. There would be a kal v'chomer to dictate otherwise. We have a pasuk which rules it out and says, by kachim it's limited to chazav v'shoig, and by chulin it's limited to Zrei l'chaim akeva. Turns out that for that we don't really need a pasuk because it's not really feasible. Rather, the pasuk is coming to teach us hamazik matam eskul chash achlan is pater, which we gave two reasons, either the pasuk zeh, or because mamashein lo tovim. Okay? All the best to you and atzlacha.